talk. So pull up a chair and let's have a chat. I am the conversation starter, Chamun Dabenganja. Welcome to another edition of Young We, where we discuss the trials and tribulations of being a youth in Nigeria today. All right, joining me on the show today, I have Abu Jabir Abdullahi Musa Abdul, also known as Pen Abdul. He is an architect, principal partner at Diamond for Architects, CEO Sustainable Project Works, SBW Limited. He is founder of Darul Tawheed Islamic Center, member Expanded General Purpose Committee, Nigerian Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs, and an Islamic teacher and preacher. You're welcome to the show this beautiful morning.
It's my pleasure.
All right, I also have here with me Noella. She is a worshiper and a gospel recording artist. Her debut album, Wealthy Faces, continues to bless lives around the world. She is a biochemist by training, and has taken a career path in business admin since she graduated from the university and is currently in the process of obtaining an MBA. You're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
All right, so from the sounds that I played earlier on, you probably have an idea of where we're going. You know, I started off with Michael Jackson's We Are the World, and then I played you a soundbite talking about embracing diversity. Well, yesterday was International Day of Tolerance. All right, so today on the conversation, we will be celebrating International Tolerance Day. Even though it was yesterday, it doesn't mean that tolerance isn't something that shouldn't be celebrated every other day. Because if you look at the country that we're in, we are such a diverse nation. So many different people, so many different parts. We come from a nation of diversity, a nation populated by over 200 million people, 36 states, 371 ethnic tribes and over 500 languages. If we aren't the epitome of diversity, then I don't know what is. However, tolerance seems to be missing in our nation. Now let me turn to my guest. What does tolerance mean to you?
Tolerance, I know it means a lot of things to different people. But for me, tolerance is to be able to accommodate a person of diverse opinion, a person of diverse culture, in a way that that tolerance will not lead to you being oppressed also in what you believe in. So tolerance is about allowing others to live while you also live,
mm-hmm.
without necessarily infringing on the rights of each other. That I think that captures my understanding of what tolerance is.
All right, Noella, how about you? What is tolerance to you?
Yeah, I really second what he said. You know, for me, tolerance simply is just respectfully accommodating the different beliefs, ideologies, and way of life of others, while still upholding your own standards and being respected in return.
Mm-hmm.
So really that's what tolerance is, accommodating respectfully, and you also being respectfully accommodated.
Yeah.
All right, so the theme for the International Day for Tolerance is respect, acceptance, and appreciation of the rich diversity of our world's cultures, our forms of expression, and ways of being human. So that's pretty much what it is. Just accepting people's choices, accepting their lifestyle, and respecting their desires to be who they are.
That's right.
That's pretty much what it is. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about the International Day for Tolerance. All right, so in 1996, the UN General Assembly invited UN members of states to observe the International Day for Tolerance on 16th November. This action followed up on the United Nations Year for Tolerance 1995, proclaimed by the UN General Assembly in 1993 at the initiative of UNESCO, as outlined by the Declaration of Principles on Tolerance and follow-up plan action for the year. All right, so this day is actually a very important day, because even when you look at the world in general, we have a lot of issues. So many issues, and so many of them border on our intolerance, our inability to accept people for who they are, for their religion, for their social class, for their tribe, for whatever reason. we just have issues doing that. And I've always wondered, why do we have such an issue in accepting a person for who they are?
Yeah, I think largely it comes from inner disease of superiority complex.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe that you're better than someone, then you find it difficult to accommodate that person if he is standing on a platform that is different from the one that you believe in.
Yeah.
And then if you are not able to cure that disease of superiority complex and now start looking at other human beings as your fellow human beings, despite the diversity of religion, creed, and other things, then the problem will not be solved. And I think that is why, from what you just read out now, from 1993, down the line, and now 96 and up to now, we still, the world is bleeding from the manifestation of lack of tolerance in the form of racism and others. You see Black Lives Matters, you see Muslims being in Palestine, in China,
mm-hmm.
where Muslims are forced not to fast. You know, it's about I'm more superior than you, and then you don't
have any right.
Yes, you don't have. Yeah, yeah, you have no right to stand by what you believe in as long as you are under my control. And that's why you keep having this agitation from various quarters that we want to secede. We are, this issue of secession from mother countries that we want to. And it's about nationalism, it's about racism, it's about tribalism, it's about all of these issues that you have as a result of intolerance. That so I think beyond the flowery speech and the declaration that mm-hmm. the United Nations flew is application and sincerity of purpose behind whatever mm-hmm. we can declare, whatever we want to declare, but if there is no sincerity of purpose behind our declaration, then that insincerity becomes a stumbling block in realizing whatever we think will solve the problems mm-hmm. that we are faced with. So we have a problem of intolerance, we have a declaration against it, but nobody is sincere about implementing it. And that is why we're where we are today in the United States. Blacks are still crying. The minorities in different parts of the world mm-hmm. are still seeing themselves as being oppressed, despite the fact that our diversity, it's supposed to be embraced as a blessing, because the God that created us is not Lord of confusion. That is the reason as to why he created us in this diverse form.
I honestly see our diversity as our own bragging rights. It's not easy to walk around and say we have over 500 languages in our country.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Our cultures are beautiful, they are colorful, they're respectful, they're amazing. But at the end of the day, it seems like we can't find a way to get along. All right, so what do you think? Why do you think there's such an issue in us accepting each other for who we are?
Well, I like to go down to the roots of a matter. This issue of intolerance, and I'm speaking for Nigerians now,
mm-hmm.
is something that is deeply ingrained. It's been passed from one generation to another.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a discussion with my younger brother, and he was telling me that he was supposed to fly to Calabar or so yesterday, but he couldn't. His flight was shifted, and he was talking about the clash at some point on the road, that it's happening between the Igbo guys and the Calabar guys or mm-hmm. so. And the interesting thing is that he said this has been going on since the 80s.
Wow.
You understand? So I believe that when it comes to tolerance, right, there are two ways to look at it. The capacity to be tolerant and the willingness to be tolerant, the capacity can come usually through enlightenment, from programs like this.
Mm-hmm.
People are not even aware. He was talking about superiority complex. Some people don't even know
what
superiority complex is and don't even know that they have it.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are enlightened, then you are now giving them capacity, the ability to say, okay, this person, you cannot demand for tolerance from somebody who doesn't even have the capacity to be tolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And most times it starts from enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Then when you are enlightened, it's another different game or a ball game altogether. to be willing to say, okay, now that I know what I know, am I willing to be tolerant? Am I willing to accommodate people? Am I willing to respect people, their way of thinking, their way of doing things, irrespective of my different views? Right? So willingness and capacity, very crucial. And like I said, we have to look at it from both angles because of how long this has trailed us as a people and as a nation.
All right, so when you look at the causes of intolerance, do you feel that sometimes even our parents have played a role in our ability or inability to tolerate a person? Because I have one belief. I believe that nobody is born hating somebody else for their tribe.
Yes, I believe that, like I said,
or religion.
Yeah, like I said, this is something that has been passed from one generation to another. So, parents, you know, we are the youth of today, right? We now have...
Also, if you do look at it, though, I'm not saying that, you know, our parents were tribalistic or anything. I'm not trying to paint any negative light on them. But I do honestly look at the differences between the two different generations. And I see that the younger generation is more accepting. They are more tolerant than the older generation.
Exactly. And the truth is, our parents are not entirely, we should not paint them entirely black. Because they just had to work with what they had.
Yes.
You know, so even in trivial domestic issues like don't marry that tribe, the up to today,
it's still a problem.
It's still a problem. My sister got married over the weekend, and then a relative was telling my brother, don't bring a strange woman. What do you mean by strange woman? Bringing a woman from another tribe. Right? So these are things that have been handed down from generation to generation, and we have to change the way we think. You know, and after working on our mentality and our mindset, we now begin to spread the word. You know, talk to our friends about it. Those of us who now have children or are going to have children, make up your mind to talk to your children and let them know that, listen, it may be this way, and it may have been so for so number of decades, but it is not right. The fact that it has continued this way for a long time doesn't make it right. Get it.
Yeah, I think rightfully so. Just portray the point you've made, that the problem that we are faced with today is a generational problem, and then someone grows up into this environment and start thinking the way he sees other people thinking, and you acquired hatred for. It's an acquired and inherited hatred against a tribe, against a people, against a race, without you even knowing why. You know, it could just be because maybe at the onset, someone down your genealogy wanted to marry someone from that tribe, and they denied him. And then, because of his personal issue, and now generation after generation, now if you go back to history, it might just be as trivial as the issue of we don't want you to marry our daughter because you're a drunkard. Then he finds a way around it that because I'm so tribe, and that's maybe 500 years ago, 300 years ago, and now it has been passed to his children. Don't ever go to that because it's a vengeance now. Don't go back to that family, and then you carry it. We don't even know now what is the solution. And honestly, as you have said, it has to do with the environment that you live in and what you have been fed with. And believe you me, I think the media has equally contributed in the polarization of the societies that we live in today.
So can you expand a little bit more on that? Okay. What role has the media played in this?
Yeah, the role as, for example, when someone does something, during the NSAS protest, in Abuja here, when it was hijacked by Tugs, the media said, Hausa Fulani Tugs. When Lagos case was hijacked by Tugs, they simply call them talks.
There was no try.
So you can see now, and naturally, this bias, this media bias, has helped in fueling what we are trying to put down today. And I think until we are sincere in our approach to these issues, it becomes really difficult for us to you know, to be able to address the issue effectively. So apart from that, you have maybe parents sitting down that this particular, and I think me as a Muslim, it's against my religion for you to condemn a tribe. And it's because a religion has no tribe. Do you understand? So if you sit someone down and say, you see these evil people, they are dangerous, that's injustice. What about the nice people that are from the evil tribe? What about the nice people? What about the honest people? What about, even if you are talking about your religion, what about the evil people that are professing the same religion as you are professing? You know, so I think we have that issue of blanket condemnation of tribes. And most of the times it comes from the older generation. As diplomatic as we want to be with respect to the older generation, I think it comes from that, when a blanket condemnation is, these Hausa people, don't trust them. These Igbo people, don't trust them. These Yoruba people, don't trust them. You don't do things like that. Mm-hmm. The Arab says, "Ta'mim lugat al-juhala." Generalization is the language of the ignorant ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't generalize and condemn an entire race because of the misdeed of a particular person in that race.
Mm-hmm.
That is injustice. You know, you can't say a snake has bitten me, and if I can't find it, every other snake will do. Mm-hmm. So I kill every snake that I see, because it's a snake that attacked me. And that is what we have when, and thank God, during this, when they said the Muslims were attacked in Esuka, there was no reprisal attack in the north, because this time around now, we stood on the pulpit and started saying, no, it's injustice. Islamically, the Prophet of Islam has categorically stated, you know, you don't take, you know, someone did something wrong, and you take it out on a tribesman. That is un-Islamic.
Yeah.
So because of that revival of that teaching, and it resonated well, so there was no case of reprisal attack. Even when, you know, they were showing images of, you know, people that were killed in Unsuka, the mosques that were burned. No, there were no reprisal attacks. Everyone moved on. Because how can you now kill your Igbo neighbor or your Yoruba neighbor that we have been living peacefully with here, because of someone that,
so
if you are to take revenge, you should go to that person that did the act, and that in that form will say, okay, maybe you are trying to mete out justice against the unjust individual. So I think the older generation, and also the religious people from both sides, will need to use our pulpit to start, you know,
preaching tolerance. Teaching
people is not even preaching. Teach people tolerance. They have to imbibe it. And then if you see a Muslim with his beard, don't attack his beard. If you see a non-Muslim dress the way she wants to dress, don't attack her. You know, to you it's your religion, to her it's a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a standard principle in Islam. La ikraha fi din. There is no compulsion in religion. So
I would like to ask a question. Last week or 2 weeks ago, thereabouts, there was a situation with a Muslim girl. I think she's an actress. I forgot her name.
Yeah.
Rahama or so.
Rahama Sado.
Yes.
Yeah.
She posted pictures of herself with the back open, and there was a whole thing against it. What do you think about that situation?
Okay. Now
there was a lot of backlash from the Islamic community. So.
Yeah. I think fortunately, after that event, just a day after, I was on a panel organized by Youth Hub Africa in collaboration with some international United Nations or something, and I was one of the panelists with a pastor, and this issue was brought up, and I'm going to give the same answer that I gave. It's one, you have to understand it from the type of society that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
We are a religious society, whether we believe it or not, whether we want to accept it or not. So whatever we do, even politicians play the religious card when they are losing. So that should show you that we are a nation that believes in religion, whether we are spiritual or not. That's another thing, but we are religious people, isn't it? Whether we are spiritual about it, that's another issue. Now what I said was, the fact that we are a religious society, which anyone that does anything against the teaching of his or her religion is definitely going to face a backlash.
Mm-hmm.
If a Christian does something against the teachings of Christianity, the pastors will speak against it.
Mm-hmm.
If a Muslim does something that is against the teachings of Islam, the Muslims will speak against it. Now, I think the balanced approach to that tolerance issue in this aspect is the fact that what I said was, okay, Islam teaches us how to correct people. And I'm going to say this on air now.
Mm-hmm.
I personally contacted her without anyone knowing, because that's what Islam teaches. I've never spoken to her before in my life. I don't have anything to do with her. But the fact that she's a Muslim, she's done something that has that backlash and the negativity is bringing, mm-hmm. and the insults on the religion itself. I took
the pain
to contact some people that are in the same industry with her that I knew, to tell her that I want to talk to her, to advise her.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to treat her the way everyone has gone to treat her. Not this and that. Do you understand? And believe you me, when I sent her my admonition, she was happy about it. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She was happy about it, but I didn't condone what she did because it's against the religion she's mm-hmm. professing. I had to remind her that what you did was wrong. But it is not something that cannot be forgiven. If you repent to God, you have not sinned against man, you have sinned against God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you repent, God will forgive you. But remember your identity. Remember your background. And that is why you're having the backlash. Are there not non-Muslims that are dressed that way? Why is there no backlash on social media mm-hmm. from the Muslim communities? Why? That answers it. So when it comes to the verse that I referenced earlier, and that is why we need to understand the issue of tolerance and the issue of commanding what is good and forbidding what is not mm. good.
Mm.
Tolerance is something else. Tolerance comes when, for example, I'm a Muslim, my co-panelist there is a Christian. I respect her Christian beliefs. I can't force my Islamic beliefs on her,
mm-hmm.
and she cannot force our Christian beliefs on me. Neither can she say, no, why are you keeping your beard? Why should you do this? Why should you? Do you understand?
Mm.
That is tolerance. Whatever she does that I know is inspired by religious beliefs, I accept it. I leave her for that. Not that I accept it to practice, but it's a way of life.
Yeah.
Whatever I do, as she has defined tolerance at the initial stage, is to accommodate. This is, Abdullah is doing this because he's a Muslim, so I should understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So the same way, when she dressed like that, it was the Muslims that actually, but you can say maybe some people took it far. Because you have to admonish people in the best of ways if you want them to be corrected.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go ahead and open up the phone line. But before I do that, let me introduce my other guest here. His name is Zakadi Feboke, and he's the CEO of Greenhouse Planners Real Estate Developers. He's a life coach and serial entrepreneur. You're welcome to the show.
Thank you. Sorry I'm late.
It's okay. All right, so our phone lines are open for you to call in and... for you to call in and give us your opinion on our topic today. All right, so the number is 0905-353-5305. You can send a WhatsApp message to that same number, or you can call us on 0805-509-9993. And our third line is 0816872132. Today we are celebrating the International Day of Tolerance. Yes. Accepting people for who they are. All right. Now we've talked a little bit about religion, or we've talked a lot about religion. Now there are certain commandments that, I have looked at. And this is coming from both the Christian side and the Islamic side. We have two major religions in Nigeria, of course, the Christianity and Islam. But it's not uncommon to see each other criticize. Pardon me. We have two major religions practiced in Nigeria, Christianity or Islam, but it's not uncommon to see each other, to see each religion criticize each other. Why do you think that is so? Okay, I'll repeat the question. We have two major religions practiced in Nigeria, Christianity or Islam, but it's not uncommon to see each religion criticize each other. Why do you think that is so?
Okay, should I?
Yes.
I think I've spoken a lot, or you still want me to?
Well, so I cannot speak for Islam, right? I'm going to speak for Christianity. We do know that in every religion, there are people who are fanatical and people who are extreme, and their extremism leads them to be intolerant. But for me as a Christian, there is a verse of scripture that tells me to love the Lord my God and then to love my neighbor as I love myself. Now that is the golden rule and the golden commandment. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you will treat that person the way you would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we feel strongly, like you said, we are a faith-based country. We are religious, very religious. It drives us from the deepest recesses of our being,
mm-hmm.
right? So everyone is strongly persuaded about what they believe. But how would you, if you really want to do what the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
and which is to love your neighbor as yourself, regardless of how strongly you feel about, you know, what you know or what you think is the truth, there is a limit to how you can treat the other person that doesn't believe what you believe. I know sometimes I ask myself that, you know, this thing, what if I was born in a Muslim home? Would I be a Christian today? I personally believe that as a Christian, to become a Christian is not, it's not when somebody drums it into your head.
Mm-hmm.
Even after the message of salvation is preached to you, I believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who does the work of convicting you. So if your aim really is to say, I have the truth, come to the truth, it is not in your own place to begin to persecute that person and criticize that person,
mm-hmm.
right? Trust in God to do what only He can do, which is what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a limit, and we need to begin to learn how to practice, how to moderate our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Self-mastery is key,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes we are even more effective that way. When people look at our lifestyle and they say, oh, you're a devout Christian, you're a devout Muslim, but there's just something about you.
Mm-hmm.
We know you won't bend, but there's something about the way you carry yourself and how you're able to carry others along who do not exactly believe what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is powerful.
Yeah, honestly, I think what you have said is similar to what I have in mind to relate. Now, generally, it's like a tug of war. This side is dragging, the other side also is dragging, and you know, it's an issue of, okay, you want someone to accept the message of salvation you are preaching, and this person wants same person to accept the message of salvation is preaching. So it starts by comparing and contrasting, isn't it? So if you want to convince, like you said, we have two major religions in Nigeria, I want to tell you why maybe we're having that. It might be innocently as a result of this thought, but the application now is, so I want us to understand it from that perspective. So this person is trying to tell you to become, you know, to draw you to the path of Islam, and the other person knocks at your door, you know, he wants you to be a Christian. But there is Islam, there is Christianity. So how do you convince this person that is exposed to these two major faiths? It's by comparing and contrasting. So in the event of this contrasting, if wisdom is not applied, do you understand? If wisdom is not applied, then it will lead us to what you're talking about of intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Because definitely there is difference between Islam and Christianity. So for me to be able to preach Islam and to invite, because all of us, what we are doing is to invite, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm inviting to Islam and I know someone is inviting to Christianity, the reason why I'm inviting you to Islam and that you should not go to Christianity, or the reason why you're inviting someone to Christianity and that they should not come to you is because in Islam they have certain belief system that does not, then you start giving reasons. Then the other person sees it. Now, this is generally speaking about the religion, under the umbrella of religion. Now, the problem comes when you start attacking individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Now, when you do a critical analysis, comparative study, you take this. I am a student of Bible. For, you know, 20 years back, I was studying Bible. So when you take from base, and okay, there are verses in Genesis. We have the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have Genesis to Revelation. You have the Old Testament and the different versions, the King James versions, the New American Translation of the Holy Bible, the Revised Standard Version, and all those. I was exposed to all of this. Now, but not for you to start attacking, you know. So when the Christians come and they want us to have a religious talk, then we start having that religious talk. Allah says, engage them in the ways that are good. This is a Quranic command. So now I think the issue now comes in the absence of wisdom by some people. As you have said, you in everything you have fanatics, you have extremists,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, do not, they don't understand that yes, white is white, but you need wisdom to explain to people that this is white.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always this is white, this is black.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So that the absence of wisdom leads to a lot of what we are faced with today of intolerance. Now I give you an example to you know, round up this question. The prophets of Islam that we follow lived with Christians of Najran in Medina, the first Islamic state. There was Medina Charter, the first constitution that was drafted,
mm-hmm.
and the rights of Christians, Jews and Christians were protected there. That's the highest level of tolerance. And one of the hallmark of it was the prophet said, whoever kills a mu'ahid, who is a mu'ahid? A Christian or a Jew that lives under Islamic states, mm-hmm. that person will not smell the fragrance of paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Even though its fragrance can be smelled for a distance of 40 years. Now, this is Prophet of Islam saying, whoever kills a mu'ahid, that's a Christian or a Jew living under Islamic state. So in the modern world, it's a minority. He's a minority because he's living under Islamic state. But the Prophet said, whoever kills him. Why? Because this Christian or a Jew is living with you because you have accepted to live together. For example, Nigerian can be taken as a case. You have Muslims, you have Christians. Now, whatever happened, the amalgamation and what our forefathers, they assented to that and they accepted it. So it can be looked at from that perspective. We have now agreed to live together. So by virtue of that, I should not harm my Christian neighbor. Because if for example, as some people will take it, something happens to say every Hausa man, because every Hausa man is a Muslim according to some people, let's kill him. Or every Igbo man, let's kill every Igbo man or Yoruba person or whatever. Your neighbor that you have been living with, he greets you, you greet him, you exchange pleasantries because someone has killed someone in Nsukka. Now you are now scheming to kill that person. The Prophet said, you are not going to smell the fragrance of paradise. But these are beautiful teachings of Islam, but who cares to understand? Do you understand? So now, I think if truly the representatives of each of the religion are qualified to represent the religion, we wouldn't have this much problem that we're having today.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm making some sense here.
Yes.
We wouldn't have problem that the Prophet also said, whoever overburdens a non-Muslim that is living under Islamic state. It didn't say a Muslim, a non-Muslim. Or takes away, min ghayri tibi nafsin, takes away something from him without his consent. Without a non-Muslim's consent, you took away. The Prophet said, on Yom al-Qiyamah, ana hajijuhu. What does this mean? He said, I'm going to stand for him. I'm going to plead on his behalf. The Prophet of Islam say he's going to plead on behalf of a Jew or a Christian whose property has been taken by a Muslim without his consent. And this is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. So these are beautiful teachings of Islam. So that is why, in fact, even last week I said, when we're talking about religious tolerance, I think internationally the Muslims need to come from a position of authority, because we are the most, I don't know which English word will I use, we are not being tolerated, because it's the Muslims in China that are forced to drink alcohol.
Yes, the Islamic religion has suffered a lot.
If we are going to be honest with ourselves,
yeah.
The Islamic religions, if check everywhere, I've given you assignment, check everywhere, Europe, Asia, Africa, everywhere you look at, is the Islamic religion, is the Muslims, US, their policies, you see, the Muslims that have been, because some fanatics have done something wrong, the Muslims that are living innocently, US citizens are suffering for that. Because some, you don't, you understand, because someone, they say, okay, there is growing terrorism, and then because they are attaching terrorism to Islam, which is an anathema, which is also an oxymoron, the Muslims in China now, imagine your religious belief, you fast in the ninth month of the lunar calendar, but it is official government order that all the Muslims be put on a table and forced to eat and to even drink alcohol and to eat pork that they don't believe in. It happens in China, you can Google it, the Uyghur Muslims in China, but nobody is doing anything about it. So I said, if anyone has anything to talk about tolerance, it should be the Muslims that should remind the world that tolerate us for our religion, because the golden principle is lakum dinukum waliya din. To you is your religion, and to me is my religion. What do you unpack from this statement? It's a verse from the Quran, and the Prophet was asked to say this to the policies of Mecca. Lakum dinukum waliya din. To you is your religion, and to me is my religion.
All right, sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there, because we do have only a couple of minutes, so we have to take a break now. Yeah. Sorry, Lekadi, we will hear from you when we get back from the break. Don't go anywhere, because the conversation will be back in a couple.